It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. I was really cold. Okay. Keep that in your mind. Okay. So I'm shivering. Okay, from the very beginning. Okay. So when I was 19, going on 20, I went to study in England for a semester. It was the best of times, and it was the worst of times. And it was partly because of the weather, the worst the locals had had in 50 years. So, again, I'm cold. What's going on? Near the end of the semester, the park I walked past every day began to sprout little green shoots out from the layer of snow and frost, crocuses and daffodils. Finally, a sign of spring. And the sun was out. Even in the midst of winter white, there was this tiny and brave promise of life. After the longest winter, spring felt like a miracle. After months of darkness, there was sunlight again. Today, we see the dawn of spring in the midst of winter dark. The Jews are once again under foreign rule, and they haven't had a good prophet in years. Perhaps you have been feeling similar to these Jews, oppressed, in the dark, cut off, as if God has been too silent for too long in your winter dark. But here we hear of John the Baptist, the green sprout to the spring that Jesus brings. Listen to this joyful outburst of Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. Zechariah reminds us that God has been faithful in the past and will do so again, rescuing us from the winter dark through Jesus Christ. At first, Zechariah did not believe the angel Gabriel, who told him that he and his wife were going to have a baby, a son who would be full of the Holy Spirit, who would prepare people to turn back to God. As Zechariah said, he was an old man, and Elizabeth, his wife, was advanced in days, which is a more gracious way of saying it. And so Gabriel told Zechariah that this disbelief meant that he would be unable to speak until the message came true. So Zechariah leaves mute. Everyone is amazed. He goes home, and Elizabeth becomes pregnant. Zechariah is the only one to have heard the miraculous prophecy, and he is mute. So everyone else is in the dark, and they are afraid. They can see God's hand on John, but don't know what that means. Finally, Zechariah speaks into their dark. After not being able to talk for 9 months, Zechariah is pregnant with speech. It bursts forth from him and is not full of fear or wonder, but of joy and certainty. Certainty in the God who has made this happen, in the special role that his son will play, and in what is to come. Zechariah trusts that God will do what he has promised. He is the God of Israel, the God who led them out of Egypt and through the desert into the promised land, who delivered them again and again. Now Zechariah says that he has visited them and brought them redemption. Not only the redemption that has come in the past, the ways he has appeared in the past, but perhaps through the Holy Spirit, Zechariah is confident in the salvation that is coming through Jesus, who has already come and is in the womb of Mary. Zechariah proclaims that God has raised a horn of salvation. Horns are prominent, bold, protruding. You see them come from far away and you back off. This salvation of theirs is pointed and powerful, and it is leading the way. These horns will tear through the curtain of dark and let the light in. Then Zechariah starts quoting the old prophecies that speak into what is about to happen. They will be saved from their enemies, and God will show them mercy. God has promised to do these things in the past and has delivered them from their enemies in the past. Now he is going to do it once and for all, and he will be faithful once more. This is all done in order that they might serve God without fear, in freedom, for all time. Zechariah then turns to his son, who is going to be God's prophet, as Gabriel declared. John will be the prophet of his younger cousin, Jesus, for whom John will prepare the way. He will go ahead of Jesus to declare the message of what is coming, the message to repent and be baptized and know that their sins are forgiven. But how does this come to pass? It happens in the final two verses, the climax. God's tender mercy brings salvation. The word used here for tender is actually guts and intestines. In a saying of deeply felt love and compassion, it comes from the guts. This deep mercy brings about Jesus, the sunrise from on high. After the years of silent winters, where the Jews labored under foreign rule, waiting for God to speak to them, spring is coming. The crocuses are blooming. The daffodils are peeking out from under the ground. Christ, the sunrise from Most High, is coming to shine light into their lives, to shine upon those stuck in the dark, who are trapped under the shadow of death, who see no way out, who have no way out from under the consequences of sin, but have it forever looming over them. Christ pierces that darkness like sunlight, banishing dark clouds, and floods the story with light. This is all done not just to bring the light to the Israelites, but to guide their feet in the way of peace. Christ redirects their steps to ones that allow them to walk in peace, keeping them from stumbling in the darkness of sin and condemnation. He brings the peace not only to them, but to us as well, a peace that transcends all understanding. And this peace allows us to show others the way of peace. Do you see how God has been preparing this story for years? Starting with the Israelites, who he rescued from the Egyptians, lighting their steps with a column of fire as they stumbled over the desert. He showed his faithfulness again and again, saving these people so that Jesus would share this history and be born into their context, a context that was full of prophecies promising his coming. And here, with the birth of John, we get the final prophet, the last one to come and prepare the way for Jesus, blazing the trail, preaching the salvation that Jesus would bring. In our darkness, in our uncertainty, in our fear as to what will come, we can take Zechariah as example. At first, he too questions what Jesus is doing. Are you sure, Gabriel? My wife and I are too old for babies. And then he has 9 months of waiting and watching and listening and seeing that God does know what he is doing. Watching Elizabeth's belly grow with their promised son. Watching Mary's belly grow with the promised Savior when she comes to visit. And this promised Savior, Jesus Christ, is born to us. And he goes on to die for us and to be resurrected for us. He conquers death and darkness so that he can shine upon us, those who sit in darkness and under the shadow of death. Perhaps some of you are still in that waiting period, waiting to see if God will actually be able to deliver on this promise of salvation, of bringing light into dark. Perhaps you are tired of waiting, stuck in the longest winter. You're tired of waiting for Jesus to come and rescue. Perhaps you're unsure he ever will. And you haven't had an angel visit you to tell you of the great hope to come. You haven't slept beside a woman pregnant with the promise of this news, a very tangible reminder of what God is doing. You're just waiting in the dark. Lonely, uncertain, afraid, condemning yourself, condemning God. When I was in England, it felt like spring would never come. It was not only their worst winter in 50 years, it was the worst winter I had ever had. Darkness had its hands around my neck, and I was trying my best to keep from blacking out. I was homesick, cold, tired, anxious, lonely, and afraid, but somehow sustained through hope in this God of sunrise, a hope I was learning to hold on to, the hope I am still learning to hold on to, the only hope we have. But I'm not saying it is easy to keep this hope alive in the dark. Just because the message is simple does not make it easy. So I share this hope with you, not because it is always easy to believe, but because it is the truth. Our context does not determine the outcome. The sun will rise no matter how deep and dark the night, for Christ has already come. God has already delivered. He did it in the Old Testament, he does it again in the New Testament, and he has not abandoned us now. This is the light that shines in the darkest of darks, and it is the only path to peace. We can trust that Christ will come again once more. He will wipe every tear from our eyes. Death and mourning and crying and pain will be no more, and he will make all things new. We can trust in God's presence, certain of the great hope to come, joyful at what he is doing and has done and continues to do. And so the spring of our salvation will burst forth like the gushing of water. It will pour out like birdsong. It will shine forth like the sunrise. Praise be to this God, our God of gut-wrenching mercy, who has come for us and for our salvation. Amen.